Back here on Downtown, it is 4:30 on your Tuesday afternoon. Time for us to check in and talk a little basketball with our friend John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you this afternoon?
I am also great.
Glad to hear that. A lot of things going on in the basketball world, but let's start with the absolute most important. Finally, the Pistons have something to crow about. They've got that championship belt, baby.
That NBA belt. That's what I love about the belt, man. Anybody can get it at any time, and the Pistons got it, beating the Miami Heat. I love following that thing around because there's always a weird champion somewhere in there. There's a team that has it, and a good team that faces a team that maybe they should beat and loses. And now this is the fun part because they get to it gets to maybe bounce around a little bit because I don't expect the Pistons to hold it for very long. I don't even know who the Pistons play next. Let's see, because this could be like a situation like, oh, they play the Utah Jazz next.
Ooh.
So, I mean, if Utah wins, then all bets are off.
Wow. Now, we do have the NBA Cup. I don't know. This seems like an appropriate matchup for a couple of franchises that I feel like have underachieved in the last few years.
Well, yeah. You've got the Milwaukee Bucks, who have definitely. And you've got the OKC Thunder, who have because of their youth. And this is an opportunity, I think, for I think this is a great way for the Cup to have some legitimacy. Mm. Not that Milwaukee needs to win it, but you know what? Winning something like that can give them that little taste of like, yeah, this is what it feels like. Like Giannis could be like, I remember champagne. I remember this. This was a good feeling. And maybe that kind of recenters them a little bit. And OKC, this is perfect. I feel like OKC is one of the perfect kind of teams to play for the NBA Cup because they're a young team and they haven't been through the, NBA controlled background circumstances of, like when you get to the NBA Finals, the NBA steps in and takes over everything from PR to how the press conferences are run, all of that stuff. And when that happens, you're taken out of your comfort zone a little bit. So this isn't exactly what that is, but being in Las Vegas, being in a different environment, having the NBA controlling, this is where you go. This is when you talk, and you don't have like the comfort of your own PR staff, doing things for you. There's something to be said about a young team like OKC experiencing that, and maybe them giving them like the tiniest taste of what it's like to be on the bigger stage.
Well, and I think this thing has been a success. I know some of the old guards are not crazy about it, but clearly the players get excited about it. And it comes at a time when there can be some lulls in the season. So to give those teams a chance to get fired up and, as you said, to get a taste of what it's like to be in the postseason.
Yeah, I think once you get to the knockout rounds, it changes, right? Because there's the group stage is a weird thing where it's just a game in the middle of the December, November. Now, okay, we're playing on this floor tonight. And point differential is a weird thing. It just changes the game a little bit. And it's unclear how effective that is. But once the group stages are over and the knockout stage happens, and there's some level of quote-unquote elimination, I think that does trigger some competitive juices. And, I'm not sure like the Celtics would have been too jazzed about playing an 83rd game this season, but getting in there and winning something whenever, like I always think of like Brad Stevens, who's like, when you put a scoreboard on something, we want to win, right? So it doesn't matter what it is. It could be, a board game at home. You put a scoreboard on that thing, and I want to win it. And so that the knockout stuff does definitely trigger that in players.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. There's been a lot of focus of late on three-pointers, usually because of the lack of success people have had. But it's an interesting comment you made recently about the fact that what you see now that you maybe didn't see a few years back, guys passing on an open two-pointer to take that step back and try for the three.
Yeah, there was a shot Sam Hauser took in the last game in Washington where he got by. There was an aggressive closeout. He took that dribble and got by the defender. And in the past, you know, maybe 10 years ago, he would have taken two steps into that and hit maybe an 18-footer. In this game, he took a step back and got back behind the line and hit a three-pointer. And it's a lower percentage shot, and the step back is a tougher shot, but it's worth the try. And I think it's one of those shots that it's people have not gotten quite used to that level of three-pointer yet. It's not just that the teams are taking a lot of threes. It's that three in particular that's the biggest change in the league. So there's an evolution for sure in what good basketball is. And teams like the Celtics, especially with Joe Mazzulla, are very hyper-focused on, hey, the percentages tell you that this shot, this contested layup at the rim, is not a high-percentage shot. So we're going to pass out of that shot to a corner three-pointer, and that is a better percentage shot. And fans understandably say, well, you're passing up a layup. You're passing up a potential layup to kick it out for three. And that is understandably a little off-putting. But they're just cracking the code. Mm. Right? We want our teams to do everything they can to win games. And so this is Joe Mazzulla doing everything he can to win games. And then it becomes like, well, I didn't mean that. So there is some evolution here that people have to understand, like, okay, that is actually a good shot. This is actually a good decision. Even though it's a longer shot, even though it's a lower percentage shot, it's actually a better percentage value than what you're thinking of normally as a good attempt. So I think we're just in the middle of an evolution more than anything. And, you know, compare it to like a thunderstorm, you know, high pressure, low pressure crashing together. You get a front and you get storms along those fronts. Well, this is high pressure, low pressure crashing together. And so we get a little bit of a storm here, and you just got to get through it for people to understand that on the other side, it's still okay and it's still good basketball.
We think of Peyton Pritchard. We think of the three-pointers, but you wrote about the fact that he's got some pretty lofty defensive goals, too.
Yeah, he wants to be known as a two-way player. He wants to be known as the guy that you can trust on the defensive end. You know, he hears people say, he's a defensive liability, and it irks him. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the stuff that he's thinking of is stuff that I've said. Because at 6'1" on the floor, he can be a defensive liability. When, you know, you're facing the Milwaukee Bucks with their length, that could be a problem. And, you know, nothing you can do about that. But he wants to be the guy that, hey, even though you're taller than me, I can still get up and pressure you and make things difficult and still make it so he's a plus out there versus, you know, a negative. And good for him, right? It's going to take a lot of hard work, and he's going to have to be in great shape for, you know, many, many years. But it's also what he likes to do and what he does best. So, you know, I'm not going to put it past him to continue to grow as a defender. And he wants to do things like start taking more charges and get better at that. And I think being on the team with Derek White and Drew Holiday, that's and you're in as good a position as you possibly can be to build that part of your game. So watching them, studying them, learning from them is only going to help them.
Celtics back at it Thursday against the Bulls. Will we see Porzingis?
Possibly. It's not out of the question. You know, he's in the weight room today. He's, you know, he said after the last game that, you know, after that Wizards game when it happened, that it wasn't something that he expected to linger. didn't think it was a big deal. Was not anticipating missing time. Although the trainers, you know, they always want to be super, super careful with it. So I'm sure there's some level of, there's always a level of concern with him and stuff like this. You just want to make extra sure that everything is okay. So, but the 3 days off certainly helped. And it's not out of the question that he'll, you know, play against Chicago, but if he misses time, it shouldn't be an extended period of time.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, we thank you as always. We'll be off next week, so I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll check in with you. You'll be here as part of our final New Year's Eve blowout in 2 weeks.
All right, let's do it.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, John.
See you, buddy.
That's John Corrales talking Celtics with us Tuesdays here on the program.